Hello, everyone.
Hi.
We're here today with our feline division chat and chuckle. Welcome, everyone. I'm your wonderful host, Laura. I'm the feline division chair at PPG. We have Joanna, my lovely co-host, and today we have Kate Benjamin from House Panther here to talk to us about environmental enrichment, and we're really excited. Do you want to introduce yourself and plug your business and do all of that fun stuff, Kate?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. My favorite topic. I can talk about this all day long. So I have been writing about cats and design since 2007. So for a really long time. Back in the day, I have a design background. So I'm not a behaviorist. I'm not a vet. I'm a designer who has a lot of cats. And so I was kind of searching for good-looking things way a long time ago. When there wasn't a lot for cats. And one day I started a blog and it got very popular because no one else was kind of writing about that at the time. And over the years, I have seen just tremendous changes, as we all have, in the cat product industry, as well as environmental enrichment for cats. So I wound up working with Jackson Galaxy and we created the catification concept, which is kind of like our take on environmental enrichment, which of course is a topic that's very well written about and studied. But a lot of the times, environmental enrichment material really focuses on what the cats need, which is what it should do. And there, nobody ever really kind of addressed, well, how do you do this in a way that the people like it? So it's aesthetically pleasing, it works for everybody. And so I kind of came in with my design background, and he and I wrote two books together, Catification and Catify to Satisfy. And then my business is House Panther with the German spelling HAUS, which is a shout out to the Bauhaus, which is kind of the birthplace of modern design. Well, a cattail just whooshed across the screen there. So I basically just sort of continue to scour the world for cool things for cats, which is not hard these days because there's so much. I work with Jackson on actually now we're doing a lot of shelter enrichment with catification kind of overlaid on top of it. And we're kind of go around the country with our Cat Positive 360, which is a program of the Jackson Galaxy Project that's part of Greater Good Charities. And then I help design residential and commercial spaces like cat cafes and rescues and things for cats. And I design cat products as well. So it's really, I've taken all my passions, which is kind of product development, interior design, all forms of design, and then cats. And I currently have 11 cats, and my husband and I live in Phoenix, Arizona, in a relatively small condo that is kind of like a laboratory for catification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm jealous. You see, like, my little very unaesthetically pleasing cat shelves back
Oh, I
there.
love it. I love the shelves. They're
There,
perfect.
there's something. That's my dream. So if anyone watching, we do have quite a few people. Oh, we did have a bunch of people watching. Some people, you bored some people. If anyone has any questions throughout, we are checking comments on Facebook, so please feel free to ask Kate all of your questions. I know we wanted to talk a little bit about how sometimes when Joe and I are working with clients, they tend to be very resistant to things. And I love all of this because these people, I'm like, I've been to people's houses where they are architects and designers. Like, I've literally worked with these people, and I'm like, oh, you need more vertical space in your house. And they're like, no, absolutely not. And I have to, it's so difficult sometimes because I tell people, like, your house needs to look like a cat lives there. And often just people are not willing to compromise. So I've had to do a lot of research into some of these things. And there is so much stuff out there now. And I think things are getting more, honestly, a little bit more affordable too. I remember looking before and some of those cat shelves were like hundreds of dollars. Now you can find them for less than $100. I'm glad it's getting out there.
Yeah, when I first started writing about it, I mean, I was writing about $5,000 cat trees from Germany and things that were being made in little, boutique studios by designers. And there wasn't a lot. The big manufacturers hadn't caught on. It was just ugly stuff for cats. And that's why people would say, no, I don't want that in my house. So as we sort of started exposing it and uncovering more, the industry paid attention and they said, okay, there's a market for this. And so I think basically there was this sort of sweet spot where a lot of really good companies started coming on the scene. And now what we have is just a lot of stuff coming straight out of the factory, which Chinese factories and overseas, which brings the price down, but your quality might not always be there. But what I say is, so buy the cheap shelf, but you might have to put a little work into it. You might have to put some non-slip surface on top or shore it up with an extra bracket or something, but it's a place to start if you don't want to build it from scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I absolutely agree with Laura. It's challenging, the convincing people and being able to like show them, hey, look at these things. They look good. That's much better. I think the other thing that the other kind of resistance that I encounter is people who live in apartments and that are like, I cannot put anything on the wall.
Yeah. So these are definitely the biggest challenges. I mean, that's exactly, you guys nailed it. Exactly what Jackson had said was that he would go into people's houses, tell them, you need to do this. And they would look at him like he had three heads. And then he was like, I don't know how to tell them how to make it look good. So I like to address, so both issues, how do you make it look good? How do you work with some place where you can't hang anything on the walls? You can make it look like cats live there. But you don't necessarily have to. You can actually design it in a way that you have like beautiful, almost invisible cat shelves, and you don't know it's a shelf for a cat until a cat walks across it. So for those architects and those people who are very design conscious, there's a whole body of design for cats that kind of goes in that direction where it's like seamlessly integrated. And then there are things that really celebrate, look, this is a really cool thing for cats, like what's behind me. Like, obviously, that is something unique for cats, but it kind of looks sculptural and interesting. And then you see the cats using it. So I think that you can kind of gauge your client and, figure out what do they want to do. Are they somebody who is interested in the unique cat things that say, hey, a cat lives here, but in a really cool way? Or do they want to be sort of more seamless? And then the challenge, there's always a huge challenge with, I rent or even old houses that have like plaster walls, things are just going to crumble if you try to put a really sturdy shelf up, which it has to be sturdy. So in that case, I'm always looking for anything that is, floor freestanding, like the tree behind you. Or there are a lot of new designs out there. Souder Pet Home had some that basically kind of lean against the wall. Have you seen any of those?
I did. I
So,
saw one and I was scared by it. I was like, how is this standing up?
well, it's still, you probably need just like small attachment to hold it to the wall. I think that concept has a lot of really good potential. I think as long as items don't require huge holes in the wall, and then if it's a small space, that's the other challenge always is looking for multifunction, right? So you've got something that serves as a climber and a scratcher and a hideout and maybe a place for the litter box or other storage. Things like that, where you're really, and then maybe doubles as something that the human needs, either a bench or a side table or something. So somebody is screaming in the background behind me. It's a bear. Do you hear him?
No.
I think he has one of his toys.
So, kind of, you've mentioned a few things. You've mentioned sturdy, you've mentioned kind of multifunctional. So can you tell, like, people who are listening, when they are looking to buy a cat piece of cat furniture, what should people be looking for? Like, what are the features of what is a good, oh my God, Sunny,
So distracting.
is it super distracting? I can't. What What are the good kind of what should people look for when they're choosing a piece of cat furniture?
So, I mean, big multi-piece question. Of course, it depends on sort of your space, your budget, your needs, how many cats? Is it a single cat household or is it multi-cat household? So, I mean, a piece of cat furniture could be anything from a bed to a scratcher to a cat tower, shelves that go on the wall, any sort of storage piece that is creates a hideaway. I think so. There's a couple things here, and these this you'll this will be familiar to all of you who are behaviorists. You want to be thinking about what you're providing the cat, and so you've got that vertical space, right? We all know most cats like to be up high, and that all doesn't mean at the ceiling above your head. It can just mean slightly off the ground, right? So anything that gets them off the ground to whatever height. So you're looking for something that gives them the ability to go vertical. And we all know the importance of hiding spaces, right? There's so much literature that actually, especially in the shelter medicine world, shows that giving a cat a safe space to retreat to helps reduce stress and, the whole fear, anxiety, and stress thing. And so you want to give them a place where they can retreat to instead of letting them find it under the bed or in the back of the closet, right? So we're always looking for maybe a piece of furniture that has some sort of a semi-enclosed place where you can still get in to get the cat out if you need it and if and to clean. That's so important, right? So you don't want them out of sight, out of reach. So vertical space, safe spaces, hideaways. Obviously, soft or scratching surfaces because that's the scent soaking, right? So anything, any sort of material, like a cushion or a scratcher where they're going to leave their scent. So those basics of environmental enrichment, really, I think a lot of people don't necessarily approach it that way. So you want to think about what of those pieces do you want to give your cat? And then and some of the more sort of mechanical things, I'm always looking for things that are completely like pieces can be replaced. You don't
Okay, yeah, great one.
have to throw the whole thing away, right? So scratchers, non-slip surfaces. That's the other thing. If cats are jumping on and off, you want to make sure there's some sort of a non-slip surface on there. Like I use these, I have some here, these peel and stick carpet tiles. Have you guys used these or recommended
Oh,
these?
nice.
No.
Where do you get them?
These I got on Amazon. You get a box of, I think, 12 of them for $20. And you can cut them with scissors. They're thin enough. You can just cut them to the right size with scissors or an X-Acto blade. And then you just peel the backing off and they have their own adhesive. So you don't need extra tape. I
Oh,
used to
that's
use,
brilliant.
I love Floor Carpet Tiles, FLOR, that's a brand. They're gorgeous and they're much more durable. They're much more expensive and they're harder to stick down. But though, so that's like an upgraded thing if you want floor. If you just want something inexpensive and you keep an extra box around, so as soon as it gets worn out, like I have them on these shelves all back here behind me, and the cats actually scratch on them and you just pull them up and put a new one down.
Ooh,
So
excellent.
that's so important. And I'm also always encouraging people, like, look at what you already have. Like, where's that bookshelf that that cat wants to go on? Well, clear that stuff off, put down some non-slip pads, and then give them an easy way to get up there. Move that cat tree over to the top of that to that bookshelf so they can get up and down without hurting themselves. And then maybe add a soft bed up there, which makes it what we call a destination. So some people like put in all these shelves and then they say, oh, my cats aren't using them. Well, maybe the shelves don't lead anywhere. Is there a window up there that's like a prime spot that they want to go to? That's going to lead them up there. In addition to, of course, playing with them and giving them treats and getting them used to the shelves. But like, think about that path that you're creating, and are there little rest stops where they just kind of can step? And then are there destinations where like that's a prime area to get to?
Yeah,
Big
so
point.
one of the concepts that Jackson and I assume you came up with it with him, but the cat superhighway is something that I still have stolen from him, and I refer to a lot, especially in those small spaces where where people don't have, necessarily resources or money to put a lot of change into, or they rent or things where they just can't do much. Rearranging the furniture and having things around the perimeter and doing stuff like that. Like those carpet squares are awesome. I'm gonna be redoing my catio this spring, which I'm really excited about. And I need some good weatherproof stuff. And those carpet tiles are
Yeah, these
really
are.
easily,
This is that sort of, it's like that marine grade carpet, that indoor outdoor stuff. The best thing about this is that the edges don't fray. Because, right, if
Oh,
you just buy
nice.
like a regular piece of carpet scrap and you cut it, eventually it's going to kind of have shreds on the edges. But this is a needle punched, so almost like a felt. The other really great thing, have you ever used yoga mats for non-slip surfaces?
Not for the cats. I use it all the time for with when I work with dogs.
Yes, so really good for cats for up on the shelves too. You could just stick it down with some double-sided tape, easy to cut. Use your old yoga mat. It's already got your scent on it. And so that's an added plus, right? That's another they will get torn up a little quicker. I've used them in certain places. But they're cheap enough that you could replace them as needed. And easy to wipe down for barf.
I've also used, I'm sorry, I'm good. I've also used like the IKEA, like the non-slip lining for drawers from IKEA.
That's really good. And IKEA has a doormat that's, I think, $1.50. And it's similar in texture to this. It doesn't have the sticky on the back, but you can use double-sided tape. And it's just a perfect size, and it's so inexpensive. I mean, there's so much great stuff at IKEA that can just be hacked, especially if you're just talking about a residential situation, with a couple of cats. When you're talking about like a shelter that's really high volume, you're going to have to get much more durable and easy to sanitize and stuff like that. But if you're working on a budget, there's a ton of stuff on Amazon at IKEA that can just be hacked. Those are my favorite.
I feel like IKEA is I feel like cheap enough and not, and just a cheap stuff that I feel comfortable drilling holes in or cutting holes out or doing stuff to. But at the same time, it's a lot of times it's a pretty decent design.
It's neutral. It kind of
Yeah,
works
it's
for
very neutral,
anything.
so you can do whatever.
There is a shelf at IKEA that's $3, and there are brackets that are $1 each. So for $5, so it's the one, it's about 7.5 inches deep, and I think it's maybe like 24 inches long. So if somebody is like, well, I have no money, but I can hang things on the wall, take a look at those, and you could create just a whole little, part of your super highway for $20 and get some of those floor mats, so the doormats, and cut them up and stick them on, and you're good to go.
So Daniel Qualiotti says, hi, Kate.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, my
Just a check.
shelves are not beautiful, but they were, I only had to buy the brackets. The rest of it was free because I
Free
got
is good
scrap
too.
stuff. And I have eight cats, and I just am not unashamed of my house looking like eight cats live here. But yeah, I'm starting with redoing my catio. I am very excited about that because it does not have a lot right now. And yeah, I think the challenge is finding weatherproof stuff. So everything nice is in here.
Yeah, that's very true. And we have a catio here. I mean, we live in Phoenix, so it doesn't rain that often, but when it does, it's pretty rainy. And it's very dusty. I wish the B1 breed cat cubes, I don't think they're making them anymore, but they're perfect out on the catio. They're plastic so that you hose them down, you can wipe them off. There's this company out of Australia called Monkey Tree. I think it's Monkeee. And I have one of their, it's like a spiral cat tower that you attach kind of at the top, and then it sits on a foot, and it's designed specifically to be outside. It's all plastic, and it's modular, so you can kind of add more shelves and make it, you know, whatever height you need. And I love that thing. Did you find it?
I've got it.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I like that a lot. It kind of a stick, it attaches to the wall in a couple places to make it more stable, but my cats race up and down that all the time. So that's on the catio.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of good things. I landed on Perunda is probably what I'm gonna end up putting mostly out there.
And you can build your own Coranda-like things just out of straight PVC tube. It actually gets a little bit expensive. If you want it to, you know, if you want to go super cheap, you can buy the stuff that's at Home Depot in the plumbing section. If you want it to look more upgraded, like the Corandas, that's all the pipe stuff, right?
Yeah, like the ones that they have in shelters.
Yes, exactly. Super durable. That's an upgraded version of the PVC pipe called you just search for furniture grade PVC pipe, and it doesn't have any writing on it the way the stuff at Home Depot does. And it comes in all sorts of colors, and it usually has that beautiful gloss finish. So it's actually just designed for building stuff. But I love building stuff out of PVC pipe. It's like giant Erector set. And you can add hammocks and scratchers and all sorts of fun stuff.
I'm not a very crafty person, but I mean, if I was, that sounds great.
I've built up a whole agility set for with PVC for cats with the PVC pipes, and I was actually surprised that they were not cheap at all.
No, it can get
It can
expensive.
get expensive. I mean, it's probably still cheaper than buying the furniture itself
Well, it's
sometimes.
so totally customizable. It depends on how crafted you are.
And it's light, right? Like the stuff that you make with wood or whatever that gets a little bit heavier. PVC
And
pipe.
waterproof, you can hose it down.
Yeah,
Love it.
absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of hosing down when you live with multiple cats, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
or in the shelter.
Yes.
That's part of it why I'm like, I can't have nice things. My cats will just destroy it. My house is a, I can't believe there aren't more. Well, you saw one running up and down.
Mine
So
are all
just,
sleeping.
yeah.
We just redid the living room because we had to, we took, because it was kind of, there were a lot of extra holes in the wall where I had put something up and then I didn't like it. And it was just like an experiment. So we took everything down, filled all the holes, and painted it. And I painted it with an eggshell finish. I don't care if that's not the designerly way. Designers are all into their matte or their, you know, their flat finish. No. Not when you live with animals. It's gotta be an eggshell or a satin finish so that you can actually clean it. So we painted everything. We just put up all new shelves in the living room from Catscapes and Catastrophic Creations, which I just love. Their stuff is so modular. You can add on however much you want, and all the different, the hammocks and the scratchers and the shelves, really fun stuff. So I've got to get pictures of that and post that on House Panther to show you what I've done.
Do you have tips for, I don't know what tips you would have, but my living room, I have a lot of windows. I don't have much wall space. Do you have tips for like making a window wall catified?
So there are the suction cup things. That depends on the type and strength of the windows you have. Some of those I have found really work well. Anything with the big suction cups, the Cloud Nine from Tuft and Paw, I put that up and it has stayed up for a year, years, long time. So, but that can be tricky, especially if you have older windows that might be, you know, more delicate. It depends on what kind of window treatment you have. If you have curtains that are on the outside of the window, but if you just have blinds or something, I love shelves that span across a window. So where you have the brackets on either side, you know what I mean? And so then a cat can actually sit across the window. Or like I have here over my desk, there's a big window here and there's a shelf that just kind of juts out in front of the window. So you could have like a number of steps on either side that kind of gives them an opportunity to peek around and look out the window. I did get an email from somebody. I haven't seen it in actual production yet, but it was a really cool when it was a perch, and it was kind of on one of those arms that like swivels, almost like you would mount a TV on. So then the whole thing would swivel out in front of the window. So it's just securely mounted to the wall on the side of the window. And usually a window is going to have a frame around it, and that gives you studs to actually connect into. So it can make it a little bit easier. You're not having to use wall anchors if you have drywall. So I use the frame around doors and around windows a lot to put shelves either right up next to it or over the top. So is that something like what I'd have to see? You could send me a picture of what your living room looks like. And
No, I think I was hesitant to do like the suction cup things because I didn't think they would hold, but I'm okay. The Tuft and Paul one is good. I'm hearing now from someone else that it's our Facebook feed is not working, but I can see it. So I don't know. It's not just you, Joe. I heard from Bonnie, who is, always listens to us. But I don't know how to fix it because I can see it fine. Just seeing. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Let me see if it shows up on my phone. But yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was muted. Did you hear me?
No.
Yeah, no, you didn't, because I was muted. Sorry, because I was muted because I was like kept refreshing my Facebook. Why don't we maybe so one, try commenting under the post if you can still see it, and see if you get an error message, because that's how I found out. I tried to link the monkey tree.
You'll see by how I found out. I tried to do a link.
It's working on my phone. I don't know.
Did you comment? Did it work?
Maybe right on posting. Huh.
Is it
Yeah.
does it say it's been re yeah.
It worked. It double commented.
Okay. Huh.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll
Shall we
keep
go
trying.
out and get back in again?
We can try.
I don't think that would work.
Well, like, okay.
Let's just
Later.
keep going because it's recorded and people can. Oh, somebody just liked my comment that they're seeing it. Okay. I
Okay. I'm not
don't
seeing
know.
it
It's
on my
recorded,
phone.
so let's just keep going. People can watch the rest.
Okay. Well, sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone. Technology on Friday.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So if you comment only, Laura's going to have a.
Yeah, I'll have to pay attention to
Yeah, because I cannot see it neither on my laptop or on my phone. So.
All right, Joe. Well, you lead the conversation.
Okay, I'll just go bye. Oh, you mean I can lead?
Lead.
Definitely Friday. I've heard you say leave the conversation. I'm like, okay, you're kicking me out. Bye. If I can't see the Facebook, then I'm not important anymore. So, do you have like a favorite thing, like cleaning way to clean the cat furniture? And
To clean cat
I
furniture.
know that the answer is going to be it depends on what it is, but.
Right. So honestly, so there used to be, it was a long time ago, I haven't seen them. It was a glove that was kind of like dipped in silicone, which essentially makes like a rubber glove, sort of. And you could like get in all the cracks and crevices. It had a really funky name. I can't remember what it was. I'm sure somebody has something like that now. I don't have a new one. And then you could just wash it off because it was silicone and then it would be sticky again. That I loved. I just use a good old-fashioned lint brush, really, or a damp rag to get fur off. I'm a little obsessed with cleaning because we do have white floors, which I like my white floors because then I can see when they're dirty and I know how to clean them. In terms of just overall cleaning and sanitizing, I have a hypochlorous acid generator, which is a cleaning solution that's used in dental offices. And people started talking about it during COVID because it's great for really disinfecting surfaces. And I make my own raw cat food, so we have to be hyper careful. And so I use that to clean everything. You know, I clean all cat furniture and the floors and the dishes and everything with it. It's basically the same stuff that's in Vetresen. Do you know what Vetresen is? That spray. It's a like a wound spray. That's hypochlorous acid at a lower like a percentage.
Concentration.
The higher percentage is for cleaning. So I am all about like so the my sort of the piece of design that comes into catification and like living with cats in my mind is also includes like having your stuff readily accessible. Like when it comes to cleaning the litter box, helping, and maybe you guys do this when you help a new client set up a litter box area, you make sure they have everything they need at their fingertips, right? Clean litter and scoops and bags and cleaning supplies and all that stuff. Because, you know, you start to realize that the design of that affects how well you are caring for your cats and your own sort of mental, like, you know, calmness of feeling like, okay, I have, especially with large numbers of cats, like I've got it under control. I have everything I need. You know, it's kind of this holistic approach of like, how do you design your whole life around your cats, I guess.
And it's kind of if it's easy, people will do it. If it's complicated and takes time, then it's easier to fall behind, right? Which is why, like,
I was working with the client this morning for a litter box, and the cat was peeing all over the bedroom, but she had the litter box in the bedroom before the cat started peeing on the floor. And I asked her, I was like, is your goal to get the litter box out of the bedroom? Because most people don't want a litter box in their bedroom. And she's like, no, I like it in there because it reminds me to clean it. So, yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, if you want it in there and it's going to help you, then do
Yeah, because out of sight, out of mind. And
it.
that's like, you know, putting it down in the basement, you never go down there, never going to get cleaned, you know? So it's a design problem. Like that's what it is. You're thinking about how do I plan this? How do I design it? How do I lay it out? What things do I need? Where do they go? How does it look? Because for me, design is not just the aesthetics. It's the functionality, right? It's my whole design education comes out of user-centered design, which, you know, really all design should be user-centered, meaning it really looks at how does it function for the users. And in the case of any cat product, there are two users, right? There's the cat and the human. And so, like, yes, the cat uses the litter box, but you scoop it and you clean it and you walk around it and you refill it. And so you've got two very different user groups here that you have to think about when you're picking a piece of furniture or a product, or you're deciding where in your home it goes and how it's set up. So I don't know. It's just sort of a different way to think about it, like as a design challenge, you know? So I love really beautiful solutions, like especially a litter box, you know, that has a place for the scoop in it. Somehow that just brings me great satisfaction.
The first company that invents an actually aesthetically pleasing, appropriate litter box for a cat is going to make so much money because I
Yes,
don't
that's
think
the
there is
problem.
anything out there. There's no ugly litter boxes out there that I approve of, basically. So.
Well, I mean, the Tuft and Paw is coming pretty close. This is the Cove, but I think you're probably going to say it's too small. A lot of people say it. Yeah, you know that one. It's got the nice high guard. But and it's pretty, I think it's pretty good sized, and I think it's good looking.
I mean, it depends on your cat, right?
Yes,
So.
depends on your cats. The Cove, I'm a deep cleaner, right? So I dump it and, you know, take it outside and hose it down on a regular basis. And I don't know if I know some behaviorists say to do that, and some say not to do that because you don't want to erase the scent. But it's a heavier litter box. So they have a newer one. Tufton Paw has a newer, smaller litter box that's just lighter and smaller, but it's the same size inside. It doesn't have the whole exterior part. And so, you know, I just need to be, it needs to be durable and easy to clean and easy to move, anything like that. You know, like just like this little hideaway over here. So it has little legs on it, so it's kind of standing up. But see, there's holes in the top. It's a really good design. So the holes are, allow for air circulation and a place for the cats to look out and an easy way to pick it up. They're not like struggling to grab it. So little things like that, a handle on the top, a place to store things. I think those are really well-designed products, along with replaceable parts.
And I think, I think replaceable parts are so important. Because I've had so many like cute pieces of cat furniture that were just like one piece broke and you're like,
It's
yeah,
disposable.
I have
Well,
to
I mean,
throw
it's
away the whole thing.
disposable, just our world of disposability, fast fashion, you know, it's just stuff coming out of Chinese factories that you're paying $2 for, but it's going to, I have such a hard time throwing that stuff away. I'm always like, oh, I can rewrap it with a new sisal robe, or I can glue these two things together and make something new, which actually just results in me having a giant pile of used cat stuff down at my studio.
I have re-reinforced a cardboard Target cat tree before because my cat happened to really like it, and I was like, well, it's just this wall that collapsed. I can
Right.
I've been there, done that.
Yep.
When it's like something that's, you know, supposed to be disposable, and then you just keep it going because,
It's bad for the environment. It's expensive. You know, it's a hassle. Really spending a little bit more on something that's well designed and that has replaceable parts. And ideally, if that replaceable part, whatever's left of it, is recyclable because it's made of natural materials. I mean, mostly that applies to like scratching surfaces, right? Or a bed with really good fabric so that you can literally wash that thousands of times. You know, like not just the cheap stuff, but like Westpaw Design, they don't make cat beds anymore. They do only dog stuff, but they had this hemp fabric they were making for a while. I've got a couple of the old beds that have it. I've had them for decades, and I've washed them hundreds of times, and it's that kind of fabric that gets better with each wash. You know, I wish everything was made like that, but
Alas, Cool. Yeah, no, it's a challenge, especially with cats, because like I remember one of the biggest issues that I ended up with, like kind of cat furniture and those cat trees that are covered in carpet got really, really gross, because one of my cats had issues and she would vomit sometimes. And then this is like really hard to clean, like especially a tree like this. So having instead something that I could like pick up and throw in the washing machine,
Yeah.
that was a while ago, that
Well,
would
like
have
Armor Cat, who, you know, has traditionally always made and still does make the big carpet covered cat towers, which I have always looked for an alternative. They have that whole new line of solid wood cat trees. Have you seen it? And then there are a number of pieces that go on the wall that coordinate with it. So they have some hexagons, they have some shelves, and they have sisal wrapped poles, which you could rewrap, but all the platforms are just wood. And so you could add the non-slip surface yourself that's easily replaceable, or a cushion of some sort. And then you could actually stain it or paint it whatever color you want to match your interior because it comes with just a natural finish. So I think that's a big, really nice addition to their line of products.
No, absolutely. Because to be honest, I find that cats actually like those really ugly carpeted
Oh, they
trees.
love them. They
They love it. They
love
like
them.
the cat's favorite, right? It's just the problem is that they're not really nice, and they are so hard to clean. Even if your cat doesn't have problems, it's they stuff just gets in.
Yep, just dust. I think, yeah, then that's looking at both users, right? Because okay, if you're just asking the cats what they think, they're gonna say this is my favorite thing. But the human has to live with it and clean it and move it and pay for it and all that. So it, yeah, that's a good example. And that's just the classic. I mean, when I started writing about this, that's all there was. There was just these carpet covered cat trees. And that's what everybody thought you had to have if you had a cat, right? Or some, like all the gaudy, purple, frilly stuff. Which I don't really have a problem with purple. I like purple, but I think there are just a lot more options now. Things that look like real furniture, things that can match your decor, whether it's modern or traditional or like contemporary or cottage core, whatever. There's just a lot of stuff available, or you go back to that DIY thing. You can hack anything to make it what your cat needs. You just have to pay attention to what they're telling you. Are they using it? What are they, the cat will tell you what to change.
So what's the craziest or the coolest f cat furniture thing you've seen so far?
Well, what I referenced earlier, which way back in the day, and they still make them, there are some German companies that make some of the most insanely beautiful and incredibly expensive cat towers. There was one company that made a whole series of giant cat furniture in the shape of letters, right? So you could order whatever letter you wanted, and then it just looked like a giant sculptural letter, but then inside and in the back were all these cubbies and shelves and things that they could climb on. And then there was that other company, Wonblock, that made these beautiful like cabinets. And they were the first ones I had ever seen. And they had all these like interior kind of hideaway like places that cats could like pop up, and then you could have a shelf for books or knickknacks or whatever. But they were $5,000, and they were completely environmentally friendly and made of sustainable materials and all this, what you'd expect from Germany. Beautiful design. Those were like, I think, iconic original cat things. And now we're just seeing crazy stuff come out of designers' ideas. There's some that you look at and you go, that no, as a cat owner, that's never going to work. Like that sofa that has the giant tunnel. Have you seen it? That goes around like the back of it, but there's no way in there. You can't get through. You can't clean. Yeah, and there was like a bed. I mean, these are things that just pop up on the internet, like a whole bed frame that's actually a maze
I saw
of
that one,
cats. Yep. But you'd have to like remove the mattress to get in there. So that's a very bad idea.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like the cat's getting a fight in there, or the cat decides they're gonna hide in there forever. That's it.
Or
You
even
poop
if
in there.
like, or even if someone, imagine if a cat pees in there and that's your bed.
No, 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 no. No, I mean, I've seen so many crazy things over the years. Some good, some not so good. But like yeah, though there's some really fun new stuff coming out. I think people are still innovating. I like to look for companies where I can actually talk to or email the owner and the inventor, and really, be like, tell me the story. How did you develop this? What was your impetus? And how does your cat like it? And how did you make the decisions you made? And that's where you're gonna find really good things, I think. People who actually live with cats.
Like, has your cat actually QC'd it?
I was in a booth at a trade show of a big Chinese factory, and they had a bunch of litter hiders, which of course are controversial all on their own, right? Like a cabinet that you'd put the litter box in, and then you close the door, and it had an opening, but then the litter box came up to here, so then the opening was only like. And I was like down on the floor asking them, like, have you actually had a cat use this? Because there's a problem here. And they just, looked at me blankly.
Did you see at the Cleveland show that litter box vertical cabinet where they had to climb a ladder to get into the.
Oh, no, I didn't see one with a ladder. Oh, that's
It
terrible.
was terror. It was really bad.
Not
Really
good. That
bad.
is, yeah.
And it
Like,
was
in any.
very ugly.
Oh,
Very
and
ugly.
ugly. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right, let's, I mean, that's going to be like the first thing that any behavior is just going to identify. You're having a problem. Well, you've just made it horribly difficult for your cat to do this. Same thing with the superhighway, where we say just because a cat can jump 5 feet in the air doesn't mean you should make them do that, especially up in the air, right? If they're already 5 or 6 feet off the ground and you're going to make them jump this huge distance, that's dangerous. That's just don't do that, you know? So if, just because they can climb a ladder or they can jump that high distance, let's not make them do that,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Let's follow up on that. Any special considerations for senior cats?
That is a big question that I always get, and I do always, I'm looking at kittens, senior cats, cats with mobility issues. I love the idea, and this is just kind of, it's just kind of a concept of creating a super highway that is flexible. So say you put it in when your cat is young and agile, but then over time you design it in such a way that some pieces could be converted to, say, ramps instead of a big jump, or there's a like a guardrail or something that would accommodate a cat who maybe has impaired mobility or something, or vision, right?
Yeah, I have
So
one of those.
yeah, right? So it's really just a matter of, I mean, the thing is, you notice though, don't the cats kind of do pretty well, don't they?
Yeah, my blind cat, I've literally, he has no eyes. So he's very obviously blind. And I have had people ask me, am I sure he is blind? I'm like, what do you want him to see out of it? Because he literally like gets around as good, if not better, than any other cat. Same with two of my, I have three three-legged cats. Two of
Gosh.
them are not good. They're very
Okay.
unathletic. But the other one is, we always joke like it's a good thing she doesn't have four legs because she'd be unstoppable.
Oh my gosh. So
Yeah.
yeah. So yeah. So I guess, you know, it depends on the cat, but you're looking at reducing, if it is a problem, giving them more spaces down low. Like that's my favorite thing, is to talk about just hanging a shelf 18 inches off the ground, right? Or giving them just a little raised bed. So it gives, and then maybe it's a ramp up to it, you know, lots of non-slip surfaces, just reducing those, reducing the height, reducing any sort of dangerous
Yeah.
place where they might fall. It's just, you know, it's so, those are kind of general concepts. It's so specific to the cat and the house. I haven't done, you know, I haven't really just designed an entire space for a cat like that. I'm trying to think. All my cats, as they got older, were either just chose to stay down lower or were fine. But it is, I mean, that, and then the other question I get is extra big cats. So large breeds, furniture for large breeds. Unfortunately, a lot of the times when you're talking about beds and things, you wind up looking at dog beds, right? Because that's, they're going to accommodate a larger animal. I think that's a big space in the market that could use some attention. You know, things that are just a little sturdier, a little bit bigger, and
They
really
don't make
can
anything
accommodate
big enough for cats. Litter
nothing.
boxes are all too small, beds, cat trees. Some of these cat trees, I'm like, why would you buy this? Because when the cat's not a kitten anymore, they're literally not going to fit on it, even an average sized cat.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that on Amazon.
Yeah, like this cat tree behind me, I got out of the shelter dumpster. But that hole in there, my cats never go in there because it's way
Really?
too small. I just use it now as a path to get up on the shelves.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a huge consideration. I mean, it depends, you know, some cats want to cram themselves into a small space, like, you know, shoebox size. But in a multi-cat household, a hideaway like that that only has one opening is not appealing, especially, you know, if they're, I imagine you don't have any problems though, right, with your
No,
cat.
none at all. None whatsoever. I have this one over here that has multiple. That one's much
Oh,
better
let's see.
designed. It's got multiple ways in and out. And they do spend a lot of time in those groups.
See, that's perfect. That's exactly them showing you. We like this one better.
They just, right. They like a lot of times people will say, oh, I've got this cat tree, but they never go on it. I'm like, well, let's see why.
Is it
They're telling you, but
repeating?
they don't like something about it because they're like, oh, my cat doesn't like cat trees because they just chose not to use that one cat tree that is like in a corner, facing nothing. And
Location, location, location. Is it
absolutely.
sturdy or does it move when they jump? You know, they're gonna move on, they're gonna jump on it once and it moves and they're never gonna go back. The surface, you know, do they like the feeling of what they're walking on? That kind of thing. The size, how it, yeah, there's so many different factors.
To consider, it's kind of crazy. Once you do start thinking, it's like it's not just I'm going to go and buy this and just put it here because I have space here. No. Yeah, I always tell people think like put yourself on like cat level. Think about try to think about your space like a cat a little bit.
Exactly. Put on your cat glasses, right? And that's the same when you're building your super highway. That's the other thing I always talk about is so a cat is standing on a platform and they could go up here, they could go over there, they could go down there. Are they all safe choices? Are they all choices you want to allow? Because if you say, well, I don't want them to go from here to here, well, that's the first place they're going to go. So you have to just build it in. You have to think, if they're on this surface and they're trying to get over there, is that too far? Is it dangerous? Do they have to go like through a small opening or something? And that's bad design. That needs to be changed because they're going to do exactly what you don't want them to do, and you need it to
Absolutely.
safe.
So we've got about 9 minutes left. Do you want to talk about your website, your blog? Where can people find kind of all the great ideas that you just talked about and all the good tips?
Well, please follow along on House Panther, either at housepanther.com. So that's HAUS Panther. And you can sign up to get our email updates. And I try to post as much on there as I can. I'm doing all sorts of things these days. Also House Panther on all social media. I try to keep generating stuff and finding new things. There's a lot out there. And then my books with Jackson are Catification and Catify to Satisfy. And you can follow along on the Jackson Galaxy Project social media as well to see what we're doing with the shelter design stuff. And if you live in the Phoenix area, on the 24th of February, we are having a cat festival at the Mesa Historical Museum, and I am co-sponsoring that and working very hard on that. This is kind of my big passion project right now, so I'm always, I'm not just about products and interiors for cats, but I love just looking for like anything that is cool that celebrates our love of cats. So fashion and decor and art. And the museum has an incredible collection of cat art from an artist, Karen Kuykendall, who used to live here. She's passed away, and the museum has her whole collection. She designed the Terror of the Cat People. And so our cat festival is centered around her art, and I got to redesign the exhibit. So we pulled out all of her cat art. So I'll be posting some of that on House Panther as well. It's really fun.
Oh,
And I'm
sounds
writing
great.
a book on her cat art as well. So I'm
Oh,
always
that's
just
fabulous.
doing different
So
things.
we were in Phoenix at the PPG conference in, when was it, November? The conference, and we're going to be back there in 2025.
Oh, cool.
So
Awesome.
we should go and see that cat art thing
Yes,
next time we're
absolutely.
there.
Well, and we should send you, I mean, unless you're going to hate us in between now and when we get back to Arizona.
Yeah, you can show us the cat art thing. We'll be
Yes.
here. We liked Phoenix. It was fun. We didn't get to
Was
spend
fun.
enough time goofing off.
Oh, well, let me know when you're here next time. Absolutely. I'll show you all the good vegan restaurants. All right,
Okay.
well.
I will. Thank you so much for coming today and
Thank you.
sharing. And I think we were just having, I don't know, some people must have been having issues with the Facebook feed because we normally get a lot more interaction. But yeah, thanks everyone. I can't remember what we have next month, but it's already planned. So we'll see you next month for another chat and chuckle.
Yeah, and if you have any questions for Kate, then find her
Email
on social media. Yeah, or email if you want email. What email shall people use?
you can reach me at kate@housepanther.com. All
All right.
Excellent. Good. Well, thank you so much for having
you guys.
playing with us and chatting with us and answering the questions. And everyone, have a fabulous weekend.
All right, bye.
Bye.